Oldies, 1450 WTHU, the Terminator here, and it is another edition of Law Talking. Joining me again is Jason from Cedar Law. Jason, thanks so much for hanging out with me again today.
Thanks so much, Terminator. Happy to be here.
All right. This week, we're going to be talking about landlord-tenant issues. People have had those, both from the perspective of the tenant and the landlord. All right, first question for you, Jason. What are some of the common issues that you see when it comes to landlords and tenants?
Thanks, Terminator. Well, I'm sure folks have had experience on both sides of the coin, being a renter or renting out a property. And the types of issues that we often see are probably things that you're familiar with. Whenever you're renting out a property, you do have a duty to make sure that certain things are in place. Oftentimes that can include heating, air conditioning, and, you know, those systems can go bad. Oftentimes, if you're renting out a unit in a building, there can be damage, not even from your property, but maybe from an adjoining property. So if the sprinkler system goes off, you can have damage to the drywall, to the ceilings. You can even have damage to the flooring, and all those things require repairs. So from the perspective of a landlord, you know, the issues are that there are these costs that come up that might be unanticipated. And from the perspective of the tenant, it's often the case that the unit then is not in commission as they were expecting for some period of time. And of course, we also see a lot of issues around payment. So whenever issues do come up, sometimes folks try to resolve that issue through non-payment. And that can often just snowball the issue because then the landlord gets resentful, then the tenant gets resentful, and that's often how we see these things building. So one of the things that we always try to recommend with any issue, whether you're the landlord or the tenant, is proactively having the lease cover as many of these possible scenarios as possible. And then when things do come up, making sure to be proactive to help resolve them, to have open communication and to putting things in writing so that, you know, these things don't end up snowballing to where you're missing out on your money, but you still have to pay for the property, you know, for your mortgage. Or if you're the tenant, you know, you might be out of place to live.
All right. Next question. What is a good first step whenever there are leasing issues?
Great question. Well, as I was saying, the first step, I think, is open communication. So oftentimes, you know, if you're dealing directly landlord and tenant, that can be, text, email. I always recommend something written to have in the written record. So even if you've had a phone conversation, just memorializing it with a message to say, hey, as we discussed, this is my understanding. Can you confirm that? That way, if something changes down the road, there isn't the he said, she said about, you know, a phone conversation, but it's actually written down and there's confirmation of that. And sometimes you might be dealing with a property manager. So similarly, property management agencies, you know, you might be communicating with the property manager, but it's also good to make sure that you get it in writing. They are the representative of the landlord. So if you're a landlord and you're hiring a property management company, you know, you're ultimately the one who's responsible, even if they're the ones sort of doing the day-to-day management. So having it in writing, I think, is a really good first step. And then we talked a little bit last week about sort of dispute resolution to keep things out of court. And so anytime that these issues come up, I would also say to look toward things like landlord-tenant mediation, ways of maybe resolving these issues before it becomes a lawsuit.
All right. So you're saying if I want to build a hockey rink in my spare bedroom, I need to talk to my landlord about that.
Well, I would recommend it. And actually, that's a great point because there are things that you might not even think about, like having a fish tank, right? Which, you know, who would think that that's something you should run by your landlord? But that water, if leaked out onto the floor, could cause damage to that unit, to the unit below. So, a lot of times people like to take the approach of ask for forgiveness later, but that's often when these problems arise because it's only a problem once a problem happens and then it's too late.
All right. When a rental housing issue comes up, how can people resolve any concerns quickly, but also fairly?
Yeah. So in terms of the mediation process, I would always recommend folks to think about, you know, bringing in an outside party if it does get to that point. And in the case of when there's a mediation in a state or county run court, these are folks who are used to seeing these issues, right? So almost anything that you have to bring in front of them, they've seen before, and they have a pretty good sense of, you know, what's fair, what's right, what's wrong. Another way of resolving these issues, which I think folks try to do, as I mentioned, is through non-payment. I would always recommend working to ensure that you're able to still make payments into an escrow account so that it's not the case that you're not making payment, but you're actually just placing it in an escrow until problems are resolved. And from a landlord perspective, you know, when you're trying to resolve these things, there's always a cost involved. So whether it's going to be having a vacant unit to turn over, you know, potentially having damage to your unit. And so just thinking about, you know, yes, there could be some issue here. How can you resolve it in the long run that's going to bring down your total cost? And that's often not having an adversarial process, but in trying to work and come to a reasonable compromise up front so that you have both parties happy in the long run.
All right, one more for you. Let's say I'm looking to buy a place, but there's already somebody living there. What are my rights and what are their rights as well?
Yeah, so that's a really important point. I mean, people might not be thinking about themselves becoming a landlord if they're buying a property, but if you have someone living in a property that you purchase, their lease carries over generally to the person who's purchasing that property. So it's always important when you're buying a property to make sure that there isn't a lease if that's not something that you want. And if you are a tenant and you're made aware that your landlord is selling your property or in the process of doing so, that you also are aware of your rights, that that doesn't mean that they can just terminate your lease without the notice or other provisions that are in your lease or in the law. So for all these reasons, we always recommend when you're buying a property, when you're signing a lease, when you're leasing out a property, certainly that you have the advice of a lawyer. We, of course, at Cedar Law are happy to help you. We operate in Maryland, D.C., Virginia, West Virginia, and you can always reach out to us. Our website is cedar-law.com, or you can email us at cedar, C-E-D-A-R, lawpartners@gmail.com, or you can text or call us at 202-643-0497, and we're happy to help you, or of course, you know, any other firm. But I just always recommend getting the advice of somebody to make sure that you know your rights and you avoid any problems from happening from the early stage rather than when it's too late.
All right, there you go. Another great round of tips from Jason and those from Cedar Law. Jason, thanks again, and we'll do this again next week.
Sounds great, Tim. Good luck with that ice rink.
All right. Stick around. I got a lot more great oldies coming right up.